Money FM 89.3, best of the evening runway. Market View on Money FM 89.3.
That's right, you're listening to Money FM 89.3. Time now for Market View, where we take a look at how the Singapore stock market is likely to close for the day, the biggest movers, sectors and companies to watch. But as always, a quick recap of how we started. Well, Singapore shares advanced this morning despite losses in the US and also mixed results in regional markets. In early trade, the Straits Times Index was up 0.3% to 3,164 points after some 73 million securities, or nearly 74 million securities, changed hands in the broader market. Now let's take you through the numbers right now. As always, numbers firming up. Here's what I have on my screen. The Straits Times Index up further, up 1.08% at 3,188 points. In terms of value turnover, that's 1.42 billion Sing dollars. Now, gainers outnumbered losers, 313 versus 237. Top five movers by value we've got here: DBS, UOB, OCBC, Singtel and Genting Singapore. Heavily traded securities: Oceanus, Seatrium and Genting Singapore as well. In terms of companies to watch, we do have DFI Retail Group. Why so? The group has put its last two Singapore properties on the market, and our colleagues at the Business Times understand that the total guide price for these two assets is at 48.5 million Sing dollars, though potential buyers can make offers for one or both properties. Now, elsewhere, from LG Electronics aiming to raise up to $1 billion with dollar bonds, to Apple CEO Tim Cook's meeting with Singapore leaders, we've got more corporate and international headlines and focus. Joining me on the line is Terence Wong, CEO of Azure Capital. Terence, welcome.
Hey, Tian Tian.
Great to have you on board. And Terence, let's start with the Singapore stock market as usual. How did the STI fare so far today? And when it comes to biggest movers, perhaps any surprises there? And what's up with CDL after saying that Delphi Orchard is up for collective sale at 438 million Sing dollars guide price?
Hey, Tian Tian, as usual, you have done such a great roundup. But this is just to add a little bit more flavor. CDL, let me take a look, hardly budged after the Delphi Orchard is up 0.5%. But this is unsurprising. I don't think that it's going to do very much to it. Mm-hmm. It's NAV. In any ways, you see CDL, this is not the first time they're doing that divestment in recent times. Delphi Orchard collective sale is only is probably its third. Yeah, this is third divestment in the last 2 years. It sold off the Strata Holdings in Tanglin Shopping Centre and Golden Mile Complex in 2022. But what is interesting today, as I'm looking at the screen, I went all the way down to CDL, which, like I said, hardly budge. The top movers happen to be the very sleepy Jardine family. Mm-hmm. They seem to be having a very happy run today. Jardine CNC is up 4%. Jardine Matheson is up 1+%. Then there's DFI, and as well as DFI is up 1.7%. Hong Kong Land up 1.1%, right? And I think that's on the back of Jardine Matheson doing the share buyback. And I think some of the investors are kind of happy or looking forward to the rest of the family following suit.
And since you mentioned about the Jardine family, right, let's set our sights on DFI Retail Group. The group has put its last two Singapore properties on the market, and our colleagues at BT reported that total guide price for the two assets is 48.5 million Sing dollars, but potential buyers, they can make offers for one or both properties. How significant is this for DFI Retail Group? I mean, we mentioned earlier, shares up nearly 1.7%.
Well, there are two sets of properties you're talking about in this 48.5 million dollar collective sales, right? Two sets of assets. So one is in Siglap, the other one is Toa Payoh. The eight adjoining freehold retail units at Siglap Village is asking for 32 million. That works out to just over $3,000 per square foot. Total strata area of just a bit more than 10,000 square feet. Toa Payoh said it's priced at $16.5 million over 10,000 square foot, and that works for, I think, a reasonable 1,700 per square foot. Oh, I sound like a property agent. Anyway, the seven units occupied by DFI's CS Fresh, otherwise known as Cold Storage, right, supermarket brand, and the remaining units in this Siglap V project houses Guardian. DFI, just for the uninitiated, used to be known as Dairy Farm International. Yeah. Owns brands such as Cold Storage, Guardian, 7-Eleven, Giant Supermarket, right? And as you mentioned, it is part of the Jardine Matheson Empire. Given this market cap of $2.8 billion, I think that this $48 million we're talking about is really a drop in the ocean.
Yeah.
More importantly, I think is the implication. It has said on many occasions they'll be going to concentrate on the management of their sprawling retail business, which includes the hypermart, supermart, convenience stores, right?
Hmm.
And it is evidently putting its money where the mouth is. Last year, it sold its price asset. Remember the two-story Jalita shopping center?
Mm-hmm.
That was sold off for $92 million. And that Cold Storage that's been sitting there, you know, has been there almost forever. You know, it has been around since I was a kid. Used to mm-hmm. shop there, and trust me, when I was a kid, that's a really, really long time ago. So they have sold off priced assets, projects with historical significance to the group, and it is really trying to, you know, go straight on to management of these management of their retail empire rather than managing properties.
I see. Now, Terence, we've got to set our sights on this company that continues to make the news of late, and that is Cord Blood Bank, Cord Life. Yesterday, it said it filed a police report against some of its former employees for alleged what it called potential wrongdoings based on preliminary findings of an internal investigation conducted by external consultant. I believe prior to this announcement, it announced plans to raise funds through a private placement as well. So how would you read into this?
Well, it's all been very, very sad over in Cord Life. The news seemed to be all negative since November last year. And you have really reminded me to check my mailbox. I need to check my mail because my kids are on signed up with Cord Life, and it's 21-year deal some more, right? So I've not looked at the company for a long time, not since when my youngest child was born some 10 years back. It was a surprise to me that it managed to raise over $8 million through two investors, given all the problems that it is going through. Generally, when investors enter problem-plagued companies, I cannot speak mm-hmm. for Cord Life itself, but
yeah.
Generally, when investors want to enter such companies, especially during the eye of the storm, it could be due to the fact that, you know, they are bargain hunting,
mm-hmm.
who generally feel that there is good value due to the, you know, there could be a variety of reasons, the existing business, the infrastructure, the brand name, the know-how, all these coming together, and they feel that it is a good time at good value to actually make the investment.
In the meantime, let's continue to stay in Singapore. Terence, reports out a couple of hours ago said Apple CEO Tim Cook will be in Singapore today and tomorrow. Not sure if he is already in Singapore. And he'll meet with Lawrence Wong, set to take over as Prime Minister next month, as well as the current PM Lee Hsien Loong. Any guess as to what will be on the agenda? What can we expect?
Well, I think the real big question is where is Tim Cook going to be eating? Right. The last time in 2019, just before COVID, he had breakfast in Tiong Bahru, and he had what chi kuih la, carrot cake, soya bean milk, and I think his favorite was the zhou cheng gao. So this time out, I think Singaporeans will be generally quite curious where he'll be going. PM Lee, he's pretty much of a tech geek. Can't believe I'm calling our PM a geek on national radio. But anyway, he loves tech. And I believe that there will be a robust discussion on the tech environment and AI and how it's going to affect economies, how it's going to affect, you know, the entire global scene. And also, importantly, it will be about business. It was reported just a day ago that Apple has lost its spot as the world's top-selling smartphone. Following very, very tough competition from brands like Xiaomi, Huawei, and these the China brands, the Koreans like Samsung, they're really taking on the market share. So the iPhone is really its crown jewel. I believe that Tim Cook will be over here to discuss about how they could actually like lap onto Southeast Asia. given that this market share in China is waning. China used to be its largest, or is still the largest, takes on the largest market share among its foreign markets. So in Southeast Asia, with a population of $650 million, I think it's going to be very, very interesting for Tim Cook. Apple already has a very, very strong foothold in Singapore with 3 out of 6 Southeast Asia stores. And I think that it will try to expand aggressively in the rest of Southeast Asia. And I believe he's looking at the likes of Vietnam in Indonesia, and he's really announced plans to open an Apple store over in Malaysia.
Yeah. And speaking of Singapore, I believe yesterday it was announced that Apple will spend more than $250 million to renovate and expand its regional operations center here in Ang Mo Kio as well. Now, if you're just tuning in, we're now in conversation with Terence Wong, CEO of Azure Capital. And Terence, let's take a look at what's happening in the region. South Korea's LG Electronics aiming to raise up to $1 billion in a US dollar bond deal. How far would that support the firm's plans or aspirations to become a global top 10 company in vehicle components? What's in it for investors?
Well, you speak of LG, and one would think of it being the fierce competitor of Samsung for home appliances like TVs, washing machines. But it has really been growing its vehicle components business quite substantially since 2013. That was the year that it founded this unit. It struggled for a long time, but finally in 2022, it managed to turn around.
Yeah.
And since then, it has seen it has become a very solid source of profits for the company. And as you have pointed out, LG Electronics last year had already had this blueprint to become the global top 10 company in vehicle components. It wants to double its revenue to 20 trillion won by 2030. Just some context, infotainment systems really is about manufacturing key parts of the EVs, providing drivers and passengers with a variety of driving-related information and entertainment features, right? And that is, with the growth in EVs, this is one of the key reasons why LG is like going head-on into this. Again, if you look at the 2022 numbers when they first made a profit, the sales was at 8.7 trillion won, while the profits was 170 billion won. But by this quarter, the end of the first quarter of 2024, its order backlog have actually more than doubled to 100 trillion won. So I think they're pretty much on track to talk about the doubling of revenue to 20 trillion won by 2030.
I see. Now, let's take a look at what's happening in the U.S. Terence, the earnings season in full swing. Johnson & Johnson topped first quarter adjusted earnings estimates. Bank of America also topped estimates on interest income and investment banking operations. We've got more earnings from the likes of Netflix coming up later on. So what is your assessment so far of how the earnings season is shaping up?
Well, if you look at some, it started last Friday and some of the companies have already, you know, topped earnings estimates. That's good, right? And like you mentioned, there's Netflix tonight. I believe other big companies that will be issuing reports will be P&G tomorrow, and next week will be a heavy.
Yeah, Meta.
Yes, you're right. Meta,
Tesla,
Google, Tesla, Visa, right? As with every result season, and I think we have spoken about this before, I really will sound like a broken record because I will tell investors the same thing. You know, investors shouldn't just pay attention on the financial figures, on the results that's going to be released. It is more important about future guidance. Companies beating expectations, like I said, is good, but if it will likely fall if the guidance is negative. And I also pay some attention to some of the AI-related stocks. I've also spoken on this program, and you've asked me many times regarding NVIDIA and stuff. Like, I mean, they've like surged significantly. Their guidance are very, very rich. And they actually met up with their very lofty guidance, you know, in the prior quarter. So how they're going to do right now really determines the share price, especially when many of the investors are buying into the earnings or the very, very rich earnings growth. Any misstep or any any slight or slightest negative guidance may have a heavy impact on the stock price.
I see. And before we let you go, Terence, let's talk about making Elon Musk even richer. Tesla's 2024 proxy statement filed yesterday asked shareholders to approve that same 2018 compensation package for Elon Musk that was previously rejected by a Delaware Chancery Court judge. Will investors agree to this, given how Tesla, on the other hand, is also cutting down on workers?
Of course, we're not talking about chump change right now. It's $56 billion.
Yeah.
Sorry, $56 million. $56 million, right?
Yeah.
Nowadays, it's just like what you have for what these tech giants bosses have for lunch. But it's $56 billion. The pay package is humongous, and really puts into question if Musk is working for himself or the company. I believe that it will be turned down. For this amount of money, I know he's getting zero. He's getting next to nothing right now. So in his defense, he should be getting a bit more. But a bit more is not like, you know, the entire economy of some of the smaller countries, right? So I think that he should be focused on building a team for continuity, a team based on continued innovation, especially with the threat of the Chinese EVs. They're really like taking the world by storm. They're pricing many of the EVs out. Take BYD, for example. It briefly took over Tesla as the best-selling EV in the fourth quarter of 2023. And I think that, you know, if it carries on that momentum, Tesla may find themselves in a difficult position to actually defend its core position.
Right. I see.
So, and I think that this $56 billion can be used to buy a lot of talent to help them with this business.
Yeah, I suppose lots to watch. I really wonder if they will approve to this. But thanks a lot, Terence. As always, Terence Wong, CEO of Azure Capital. Thank you very much for joining us on Money FM 89.3.
Thanks, Tianqian.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance.